Amen. Thank you, Melissa. Great song, great job, great thought. Wasn't our choir a blessing this morning with our adults and teens together? It's wonderful to sing about a risen Savior. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and get in your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one near you. It's got a hard black cover. We will be on page 748, Mark chapter 15. Normally on Sunday mornings, I've been going through great texts in the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the New Testament Gospel of John. We broke away from that last week to have a child dedication Sunday, and that was a blessing. And this week, in honor of the resurrection of the Lord, I'm going to break away again from that. To much of America, Easter is about bunnies, colored eggs, candy, new outfits, and time away from school on break. But even those who are focused on peeps and ham cannot escape what people of faith celebrate during this season. Right. We celebrate the greatest individual who ever walked on the earth, suffering, shedding his blood, dying, and rising again from the dead. We celebrate the fact that neither death nor the devil could hold the Lord Jesus in the tomb. And he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. In fact, this season, even our secular society is saturated with the fact that Easter is about such bigger things than eggs and baskets. The Jewish day began at sunset because of the way our Creator communicated how he handled creation week. And though you and I know our day technically begins at midnight, we think of the day starting with the morning light. Jews, however, reckoned their day differently because during creation week, it repeats six times, something like in the evening and the morning were the first day. So because of that, Jews reckoned their day to begin in the evening, and so the Jewish day began with darkness followed by light. You and I think about our day as beginning with light and the end of the day being dark. Light is very powerful. It's more powerful than when it's focused in a beam and a laser. Light is synonymous very often with hope. Most of us here have been in situations where it's late at night and it's dark because of some sickness or trial. We're still awake in the darkness of the night and we just hope for the light of the morning. There's something special about morning light. Something special about the morning light that causes the darkness to flee away. Throughout the night of September 14th of 1814, Francis Scott Key and John Skinner listened to the explosions and watched the American flag flying over Fort McHenry from their ship during the British attack on Fort Baltimore. During the night, as explosions lit the night sky, they would catch glimpses of the American flag proudly flying, which indicated that America was still in control of that fort. Before the morning dawn, the battle ceased, and all that was there that they could see was darkness. And those men anxiously awaited for the morning light to see what happened, to see who won the battle. In the darkness, they couldn't tell who won. Francis Scott Key recorded his feelings in what is now our national anthem. Amen. When he first in morning light said this, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?" There was something special about what Francis Scott Key saw that morning that changed everything, gave him hope for America's future. And there was something the disciples of Jesus saw that first day of the week long ago that gave them hope, something we celebrate today. Amen. If you're able to stand, if you would stand, please, in honor of the Word of God. The title of my thought this morning is Morning is Coming. Morning is coming. Mark chapter 15, we begin in the Word of God in verse 42, and it says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came. and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Thank you, might be seated. Our text begins in the evening with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 42 to 45, when even was come, because it was a preparation, that is, a day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Our text begins in the darkness of the evening. I personally think it was Thursday evening. Many biblical Christians think it was Wednesday evening and a few Friday, but I personally think it was Thursday evening, and quite frankly, doesn't matter. The Romans were indifferent, but most of the Jews, especially their leaders, they celebrated the events of what may have been the darkest day in human history. That day was not just dark because God supernaturally darkened the light of the sun for 3 hours over the entire earth while Christ was on the cross. It was dark because of the events of that day. The events of that day displayed some of the darkness in the human heart. See, we like to think that we're a little better educated and a little more sophisticated than the kind of things that come in our heart, and so we generally blame them on the devil or deny that they're there. But the darkness of man's heart was on display that day as it killed the only innocent man who had ever walked our globe. Amen. It was a dark day. It had been dark not just because an innocent man was betrayed by his closest disciple. His disciples had endured a lot for the Lord Jesus. Whether you realize it or not, they had been kicked out of their synagogues, which meant separation from their family and friends for saying that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. Their family, I'm sure, tried to talk them out of it. Their family thought they were crazy, but they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. It was a dark day. Hundreds of disciples had their hopes dashed, crushed as they watched what had been done to the Lord Jesus. I mean, imagine how badly he would be beaten when it wasn't just the hand of a Roman soldier on the handle of the whip, but it was also the hand of the devil. The only time he would be allowed to do to the Son of God whatever he would. Imagine how the sound of the hammer hitting the nails and that ringing noise would have felt in their heart and in their mind. I'm sure even though they were broken and watching, there was still some glimmer of hope in their mind that maybe this is somehow going to change. But when he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and committed his spirit to his Father, all hope from their perspective was gone. It was a dark, dark evening. And though most of Jesus' disciples were what you and I would call regular people, there were a few of them in high places, and Joseph of Arimathea was one of them. And like every true follower of Jesus, you're going to be placed at times in situations when you're going to have to pick a side.
Yep. Amen.
Who do you belong to?
Yep.
And that day, it was Joseph of Arimathea's turn, and he had to come out of hiding and take the side of the Lord, and he used his influence and access to the Roman governor Pilate to get Christ's body. Now, Joseph owned a tomb nearby, hewn out of the rock, and he, not surprisingly, as a Jew, wanted to be buried near Jerusalem, and he gave his tomb to Christ. That's verses 46 and 7. He brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Now, it always costs people something to be a faithful follower of Jesus.
Amen.
Joseph of Arimathea was no exception. His political and business connections did not exempt him from it. All of his wealth did not exempt him from it. If you're a follower of Jesus, the times will come when you will have to pick a side, and Joseph's day came that day.
Amen.
It was a dark day for Joseph of Arimathea. He had to publicly take the side of Jesus to get the Lord's body. See, to take the Lord's side and get his body, understand that that would have, from that moment forward, put him on the wrong side of the Roman politics and would have put him on the wrong side of the Jewish religious leaders. But Joseph of Arimathea said, you know what? I've enjoyed this business access. I've enjoyed this political power. I've enjoyed my wealth. But today, I'm the only one who can get the body of Jesus down, and I'm going to take my turn.
Amen. That's true.
It was dark and difficult, not just for Joseph, but the apostles. Who other than John stood afar off from the cross of Christ? It was dark and difficult for the women who believed. But a couple of them, they wanted to know where they were taking the body of Jesus, and so they followed Joseph and whoever it was that was with him when they took the body. And thankfully, regardless of how dark the evening and night are, there is light and sunshine and hope in the morning. Chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning. Isn't that interesting? I know some of you would be shocked. Actually, the sun gradually comes up in... Sorry. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. I don't know where the men were. Seems as if they were too fearful to get there. Perhaps they thought that the Romans and Jews would be harder on them than the women, but for whatever reason, the men seemed to be too fearful to go. But these women, this group of faithful women, says, you know what? We are going to go, and we're going to anoint his body.
Amen.
They left while it was still dark in the city. Understand, they did not go to the tomb to celebrate. They went there to mourn. They thought Jesus was still dead. They left the city in the darkness of the night. They had no idea what to expect in the morning light that day. They went to the tomb to anoint the dead body of the Lord rather than to hold the feet of a living Savior and worship. And it's no accident that at the rising of the sun, the women arrived at the garden tomb to discover the great stone sealing the tomb had been rolled away, and the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb had fled into the city. They were shocked. The stone was rolled away. Shocked, the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb were gone, and these faithful women approached the garden tomb and went inside. Understand that before they saw that stone rolled back, before they entered that tomb, it had probably been the three darkest days of their entire life. See, it wasn't just the apostles who were fully invested in the Lord Jesus being the Christ and the Son of God. There was a whole circle of faithful disciples. Yes, just like today, there were casual disciples. Yes, just like today, there were some disciples who were part in and part out, and some disciples who were mostly in. Listen, just like today, there were some disciples of Jesus, they were all in. They had left everything and set everything aside. They had made their relationship with Jesus the most important relationship they had. They had made following him the most important thing they did. And they were just as crushed as the apostles. It had been dark for them for 3 days. But instead of finding the lifeless body of Jesus, they instead saw an angel who told them Jesus was alive. Morning had come.
Amen.
Verses 5 and 6, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. Oh, by the way, angels don't have wings.
Amen.
Cherubim and seraphim do. Angels don't have wings. That's people making angels.
Yep.
There's no place in the Bible where an angel has a wing.
True.
Entering into the sepulcher, verse 5, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he's risen.
Amen.
He is not here.
That's right.
Behold the place where they laid him. For 3 days it had been dark in the evening and night, the darkest of their lives. But morning had come. I mean, imagine the light of excitement to see an angel for the first time in their life and have a message from him. Imagine the light of excitement to hear that they would see Jesus alive again in Galilee. Imagine the light of excitement for being chosen to be the first witnesses of Jesus being alive again. Imagine the excitement and the light of hope that came out of their darkness. You see, they realized that morning, and I'm sure for 3 days they'd had doubts, they realized that morning that they had been right about Jesus all along.
Amen.
They had been right, he was the Christ. They had been right, he was the Son of God. They had been right, he was the Savior of the world. Imagine the power. See the smile on the face of the angel. Hear the power of his words when he says, he is risen, he is not here, ye shall see him. And as the Sunday morning sun peeked over the hills with all the hope that comes with morning light, the sunrise that morning was not the greatest thing that morning. You see, that morning was like no other because Jesus of Nazareth began to show himself alive by many infallible proofs. That morning was brighter than any other morning in history because the Sun of Righteousness was shining again on the earth.
Amen.
And today, over 2,000 years later, we gather on the first day of the week every week and once a year to specially celebrate the risen Savior,
Amen.
The light of the world. So what I'd like to do this morning for just a couple of minutes is make some observations and applications of the morning of Christ's resurrection. Just three things. Here's number one. Life in this world is always going to have evenings.
Yep.
Times when the darkness invades our soul.
Amen.
Listen, Paul was very clear in Romans 8:22 when he said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. He was clear about the fallen nature of every person on the globe when he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, listen, it isn't just the people down there doing this or that are sinners. It's you and me.
Amen.
Whether you recognize it or not, our pride is a sin. Whether you recognize it or not, our selfishness is a sin. Whether you recognize it or not, our foolish and hurtful lust and greed and covetousness, those are sins. Whether you and I realize it or not, when we take something that doesn't belong to us, that's a sin. Whether you and I realize it or not, when we're dishonest and we lack integrity, that's a sin. Listen, all of humanity and all of this world is broken. And because of that, there is always going to be darkness at times in our life and in this world. I hope you know this morning it wasn't always like that.
Yep.
When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. There was no sin nor death. There was no death, no sickness, no profanity, nothing but good. And God gave man one rule. Don't eat of that one tree. And what it really was, it was a test. Will man obey God and be inconvenienced, or will man be so bent on doing what he wants to do that he will break that rule? And man broke that one rule and plunged our whole world into what we see it to be today.
Yep.
Listen, there have always been and will always be evenings and nights for disciples and in this world. And the night for those disciples in that time, it was dark. I don't think you and I appreciate what it was like to follow Jesus for 3 years or 3.5 years and then watch him be beaten and taken. I think we underestimate just how badly they beat him.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
I don't think any pitchers can do it justice. And Isaiah, it says he was beaten beyond recognition. You couldn't look at Jesus of Nazareth on the cross. He'd been beaten so badly about the face. They plucked his ears, his beard. They smacked his face. They jammed those thorns down. The Romans had whipped him. You could not even recognize him there. Imagine watching someone you love have that done to them. That's what the disciples had endured. It had been night. And though we can't fully relate to their darkness, we can relate to our darkness. Everyone here has felt the darkness of loneliness, being lied about, the darkness of pain from injury or disease, the effects of growing old. We've all felt the darkness of disappointment and discouragement and death of someone we love. We've all battled worry and depression and anxiety with the unknowns of life and tomorrow. We've all sat and empathized with a brokenhearted parent. We've all stood by the bedside of someone who was in really, really bad shape and suffering. We've all watched them close the casket on someone we loved and wonder how we'd make it the next day. We all understand that this world has times of darkness, evenings. And they're a part, inevitable part of life in this broken world. But thanks be to God, there's more than dark evenings and nights in life. Here's our second thing. Life in this world will always have mornings.
Amen.
Times when God allows light to overcome the darkness we face. You know, sometimes when we're facing the darkness, we wonder if there is a morning. Can I just say this morning, if you're a Christian, there's always a morning.
Amen.
Because our fallen nature is what it is, and because our world around us focuses on all that's wrong in our world, we lose sight of the light and what's good. Have you ever really thought about this? Probably everybody in this room is griped about watching news and it being nothing but negative. Fact of the matter is, if somebody could make a news channel that was all positive news and make money, they would do it. But man wouldn't watch a news channel that's all positive. There's something inside all of us. We want to know what's a mess. We want to know who did what to who. We want to know what happened to such and so. Listen, the problem is when we watch and look and think about all that's wrong and all the darkness, we lose sight of the goodness and light in our world. Have you ever really thought about all the good there is in our world? Do you realize if it were not for God, there would be no good in our world at all?
Amen.
I mean, understand, nature in itself is incredibly cruel. The animal kingdom shows no mercy when an animal is weak or sick or old. Nature is cruel. Hurricane and tornado winds give no thought to how much a house meant to someone who was living there. Nature is cruel. Floods don't care whether it washes away a child or a stump. Have you ever thought about the good that's in our world? We complain about our pain, but do you realize if you and I never had any pain, we would never realize and enjoy pleasure? We complain about bad food, but we'd never appreciate pizza and Mountain Dew if we'd never tasted liver and onions and Diet Pepsi. to the curses on mankind. Listen, if we'd never experienced a terrible smell, we wouldn't appreciate the smell of a flower. If we'd never seen suffering and destruction, we'd never appreciate a smiling face. A child's joy when they get their Christmas present. See, we lament that we see all these things that are bad. We lament all that's dark in our world. And we lose sight of the fact that when God made those gates, He made those gates so that we would not only see what's bad and wrong in our world, He wanted us to see what was good.
Yeah. Amen.
Paul said in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. The cruelty of our world doesn't lead people to repentance. The goodness of God did. Hey, it's the goodness of God that sent the Lord Jesus. It is the goodness of God that we can enjoy a marriage.
Amen.
I hope you enjoy your marriage,
Amen.
At least mostly. It's the goodness of God that we have joy giving children. You realize in the animal kingdom, it's not like that. Most of the time, they abandon them soon. Paul said of the idolaters in Lystra, quote, God left not himself without witness in that he did good. And he gave us from heaven, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And though we have all had our share of hard times and darkness, were it not for the goodness of God, we would never have any good.
Amen.
You ever just really, do you ever even think about this stuff? Does everything in your world revolve around you? Oh, it's my vacation, it's raining. I prayed it wouldn't rain on my vacation. And the farmer up the street's been praying for rain.
Yeah. Amen.
See, we are so focused on ourselves. We don't see the goodness of God all around us.
Amen.
Please don't be so focused on the darkness and evening you fail to see the light and the goodness of God in our world and in life. Listen, you can lament the poverty in America, but you'll only do that if you haven't seen the poverty in Nicaragua, Haiti, most of Africa. You may lament the problems in your own life until you leave the circle of your life and see just what some other people have to go through.
Amen.
You may lament the loss of a loved one until you pause to remember what they meant to you and did for you while they still lived. Listen, fact of the matter is God's been good in our life. We have been blessed, like the song says, behind our wildest dreams when we go to sleep at night. Don't you love the joy and excitement of some couple who's just newly in love or just got married?
Amen.
I just love it. Don't you love the joy of a child on Christmas morning? The joy many of them will have later today when they just get an egg with a quarter in it. I'm sorry, you put $5 bill, we put quarters. They don't know. Don't you remember the joy of your child's birth? So they're a teenager now, I'd like to go back. Hey, listen, life does have dark places. Life does have pain. It's a broken world. We're among broken people. But thanks be unto God, there's light. There's goodness. But it's not just that there's some light and mornings in this broken world, times when God allows light to overcome darkness. Here's our last thing this morning. Number three, life in the future will have an even greater morning.
Amen.
A time when Christ returns to earth.
Amen.
Now, you and I could argue about which day in the history of mankind was the greatest day ever.
Sure.
I mean, was it creation day when God formed man out of the dust of the ground and made man a living soul, and man was designed to have relationship and fellowship with his creator?
Sure.
What an incredible day. Was it the day of Christ's birth? When God himself took upon him the form of a servant and was found in the light, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to walk among us. What an incredible day. Was it the day when Christ died? Was it the day when the innocent Savior shed his blood and died to pay for the sins of the world? When God the Father, the holy, righteous Creator, laid all the sins of man, past, present, and future, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he on the cross bare those sins of the world, he said, "Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Was that the greatest day in all of history, when God himself shed his blood and paid for the price of man's sin? Was it the day we remember this morning? When Christ conquered death, when light was victorious over darkness, when the Son of God came out of the tomb alive again, was today the resurrection day? Was that the greatest day in history? I don't know what the greatest day in history was, and I don't know what the greatest day of the next three great days coming are, but I do know this, it's going to be a great day when Jesus Christ returns. Jesus said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." It was Jesus himself who said, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." See, to know that Christ rose from the dead to conquer death in the past is a great light and an incredible morning. But listen, if you're a believer here this morning, I didn't say if you're a Baptist. I didn't say if you know the facts about Jesus of Nazareth. The devil knows the facts. I said if you're a true Christian, if Christ is really in your life, if you have been born again, listen, I am saying to you this morning, there is a great morning that awaits us in the future. You and I can't imagine the joy the disciples had in resurrection morning. And I honestly think you and I underestimate the joy when Jesus returns.
Amen.
Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, that's not going to be a joyful day for you. If you happen to be alive when Jesus returns in the clouds, you will be left behind to face the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation and all those judgments in Revelation.
Yep.
So, well, if all that happens, then I'll believe. Ha, you're kidding yourself.
Amen.
You mean to tell me you refuse to believe today when the price tag of believing is having your friends think you're a little bit weird, and you think you're going to believe when the price tag of you following Jesus is you dying?
Yep. Amen.
You're kidding yourself.
Yep.
You could be here today and you're saved, but you're living a life and it does not at all resemble what a follower of Jesus' life should look like. And you know who you are. Your friends and people you work with and people you go to school with, they'd be shocked you're sitting in a church this morning with a Bible open, singing about Jesus. They'd be shocked. And yes, because you're a true Christian, you will meet Christ in the air, but understand that you will be ashamed.
Right.
I don't want that. I want that great morning of future light to be a one. And I'm excited to see Jesus because I've been looking for him. Morning came for the disciples of the Lord who had been shattered by his suffering and death on the cross. Morning is coming. You and I today are in the darkness of the evening in our broken world, but morning light is just around the corner. Early in April of this year, a woman by the name of Kim Spencer was walking her dog Kona near a lake by their home in Florida. The unthinkable happened in a split second. A 6'6" alligator lunged from the water, clamped his jaws around Kona's head. Miss Spencer said this, "I stopped thinking and just dove on it. Jumped on it, straddled it as ladylike as that is, and was trying to pry its jaws open." Now, against all odds, Miss Spencer was able to get the dog free from the alligator's grip, and she was injured. She had stitches. The dog was injured. It has stitches. And probably, I think we all understand that if she didn't jump in there, Kona had no hope. It's what you call alligator lunch. But you see, Miss Spencer, she was injured and had stitches. You and I, we're dead in our trespasses and sins.
Yep. Amen.
You and I have no hope of rescue in the judgment, no hope of rescue in life from our sins. But the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just jump on the back of an alligator and was injured, he instead left the glory of heaven, endured the dust and hatred of earth and mankind, and suffered and died and shed his blood for your sins and mine on the cross. He didn't just come to rescue us from an alligator. He came to save us from our sins. And I don't know of anything better that you could do on an Easter day than decide, you know what? I am sick and tired of the darkness of my sins. I'm sick and tired of not knowing for sure what would happen to me if I die. I'm sick and tired of not knowing whether Jesus is in my life or not. And that today would be the day you just say, you know what? I'm done messing around.
Amen.
I want Jesus in my life. I want forgiveness. I want mercy. So, Brother Wally, I've been in church every week for 20 years. I know a lot of people who say they're Christian and I live better than they do. Hey, listen, you might. But your good is not going to wash away your hatred, your pride, your selfishness, your covetousness, your greed, your dishonesty. It's not going to wipe away a bit of it. Only Jesus
Amen.
Can do that.
Yeah.
Today is a good day to come to Christ.
Amen.
And if you belong to him, it's a good day to say, do you know what? I'm done playing with the Christian life. I'm going to follow Jesus with my heart. He is worthy. You'd quietly stand.